This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
A canine officer helped police sniff out more than 73 grams of meth two men were allegedly carrying when they were pulled over in a traffic stop this month. Welcome in. Good morning, NoCo News for Northern Colorado.
A canine unit did this?
A canine officer helped.
Crazy.
Yeah, the Greeley Tribune reports police arrested 18-year-old Isidro Tamoxel Cavez and 39-year-old Aaron Garcia Galvez on April 8th on suspicion of intent to distribute after they found the stash divided into 40 small bags for sale during the stop in an alley between 8th and 9th Street on April 8th. Both Tamoxel Cavez and Garcia Galvez have hearings at 8:30 a.m. Tuesday at Weld District Court this morning. But that's, 73.9 grams of meth is a lot of damn
Seems
meth.
Seems like a lot of meth. I don't know what that adds up to or what a huge haul is, but 73 grams sounds like a lot. I don't know what they buy it in, if they're buying it by the gram or what. It can sound like a lot, and sometimes it isn't, you know. But do they make it sound like this is a substantial bust?
Yeah, they do. They do. This is from Chris Bolin over at the Greeley Tribune. Police say they also found 15 counterfeit M30 pills likely containing fentanyl in this. Tamoxel Calvez was arrested in February in a similar incident. This drives me insane. We'll get into that in a moment. According to an affidavit, when police found over 11 grams of meth in a van he was driving, he was pulled over in an alley in the 400 block of 9th Avenue in Greeley for driving without headlights. Just before 11 p.m., April 8th, Greeley police saw a brown van turn off 16th Avenue into an alley between 8th and 9th Street without signaling. Police say when they approached the vehicle, a passenger, later identified as Garcia Galvez, got out of the front passenger seat holding an orange bag and red water bottle. The officer asked him to get back in the vehicle, instead asking the driver, who the officer knew to be Tamoxel Calvez, to step out instead. The officer recognized Tamoxel Calvez from previous contacts and knew him to often be armed, so the officer asked him to step out of the vehicle and frisked him, finding a glass pipe in his pocket. Officers deployed a canine unit, which indicated positive to narcotics in the front of the van, according to the affidavit. Hanging under the front passenger seat, police found a black box with suspected meth split into individual bags. The 23.4 grams of meth was split into 22 bags containing 0.7 grams, 7 bags containing 0.8 grams, and 4 bags containing 0.6 grams, according to the affidavit. Police say they also found 15 of the counterfeit pills, as we just talked about, in the red water bottle. Police found 41.3 grams of meth and several small empty bags matching the others, according to the affidavit. Kudos to the police who did this work, for handling the situation, taking them into arrest without any more blow-ups in this case. But Tamoxel Calvez was arrested in February with a similar incident.
Yes.
Then arrested again in April.
Yes.
What in the hell are we doing here? You get arrested for 11 grams of meth in February. You're out a month later, and then you're arrested again with 74 grams of meth in this. How are these criminals getting back out on the streets so quickly, Brian?
Well, I'm not really surprised by that. 11-gram meth bust and found himself out within a couple months. I mean, people commit murder and they're out later in the day. So, I mean, that's not shocking. You find somebody to post the bail or whatever it may be, and you're out. And to think that, that one arrest is going to straighten me out, that's not the way it works. So this is not surprising at all. It escalates till it gets to the point where it's such an offense that they get put away for a longer period of time. And that is what I believe this one has graduated to.
But this is just, isn't that ridiculous? I mean, the cop knew who it was just when he pulled him over.
Sure.
That is insane to me.
But that's not unusual.
It shouldn't be. All right. I mean, it should be unusual.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, the reality of it, it's not. People who live in the criminal world are known in the criminal world, and they're going to know police by name.
I get that. But this the drug issues that we have here in Northern Colorado, we got to be – I know the answer is not to arrest them all and throw them away, but the rehabilitation is not working, obviously, for this, especially in this specific case of, hey, we got you once. And then a month later, he's back in handcuffs again, this time with 74 grams. He's clearly distributing it, broken up into the little baggies. So – It's a tough pill. I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of the cops. You arrest this guy a month earlier, and then hey, a month later, here we go again. He's probably not done with the paperwork from the first arrest, and he's having to do it again. Like that, there's something a little bit broken there. If that's how this is going to be continuing to go down, and when you have the same players out on the streets, you know you're never going to be able to get those big busts of the actual people distributing this, even in a bigger way than what 74 grams is.
Oh, absolutely no. There's pounds out there. You know,
right?
I said we're talking about grams, you know, which yes, they add up, and it's. Hey, bottom line is 73 grams of meth were taken off the street. That's a great thing. Should, in hindsight, could you look and go, man, if we could have held on to them that first time, we wouldn't have had these other 73 out there. Yeah, absolutely. And can you look at that and go, here's a case where if we would have just held on to the guy, we would have protected people from more of this getting out on the street. Yes.
Yeah.
That is one of those examples, but there's too many that go the other way as well. And
go the other way is in terms of what?
In
that get rehabilitated?
Of, yes.
Oh, okay.
No, there's plenty of those situations, and there's, you know, one, but the thought that, look, if you're into that, if you're a meth head, like I said, and you get busted, that one bust isn't going to straighten you
out. No.
You need to do some more time. And that's what I think is going to happen here. The natural progression of got busted with 11, got let go. 73 is going to be a lot harder to get out of, especially when it's another offense. You just got to keep building the paperwork on somebody. So when you do get them for, if it's another time, even if it's 5 grams or a gram,
right,
that they're gone away for a long time because you've shown a habitual habit.
But how many times do we do this? And I'm seeing what you're saying is correct. I know that's how the system's going to work. But how many more lives are going to be ruined every time we let somebody like this back out? How many more people are going to get hooked on meth after letting somebody like this back out after the first offense? I mean, he got a slap on the wrist from this in February and in April. I mean, it took him a month to get caught.
What did he get charged the first time? Do you know that?
I don't know what it was, but in my opinion, the fact that he was back out on the streets a month later is a slap on the wrist, you know, and again, a month before they caught him again. This is when you hear guys like Sheriff Reams talk about having a hard time getting cops. I mean, Mayor John Gates has said the same thing with some of the homeless people that they get arrested. They have a hard time doing anything about it because they know that they're going to be released before they get the paperwork done. Like, if that was your job, was to serve and protect, and you're putting away these bad guys, and then you're arresting them a month later for the same damn thing? I mean, why would you want to keep doing that job, or would it feel like you're just spinning in a circle?
Well, of course you would feel that way at times, but this is a tale as old as time. This is nothing new.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That just sits with me wrong about how quickly this one was out there recommitting crimes.
The amount of times when you look back at somebody who commits a murder and you can see past things in their history where, oh, if we would have just paid attention to that, maybe this wouldn't have happened. You can do that over and over with just about any crime.
Well, fair, but they had this guy committed a crime. He was there. And again, he was an 18-year-old. I mean, an 18-year-old that's been out there twice now that's been picked up for this. And it's tough. I get that. But at a certain point, it's like, what We either need to figure out if we're going to spend more money on the rehabilitation side of things and get a certain amount of people where we build a facility that is for rehab centers for these people who are hooked, and let's go that route, and so that we're not overwhelming the jail. Because so if you believe that this 18-year-old could be rehabilitated, let's spend the money. And this is a Republican saying, hey, let's spend the money on something over here. Let's spend the money on the rehab center and get that working efficiently, and so that you meet the criteria of X, Y, or Z. Now, I have no idea what the criteria should be, but if you meet the criteria of X, Y, or Z, you know, you get hit with this first one, we're going to take you into the rehab facility. We're going to hold you there for 6 months until you're clean, and then we're going to go back out there. Because I get it. The answer is not to arrest our way out of this. I truly don't believe that. But I believe that a portion of that needs to be holding them for longer amounts of times and upping the rehab centers that we have in our jails. We talk a lot about the mental health. We talk about rehabilitation, of getting people back out into the world who can be rehabilitated. But what do those processes look like, and why are they not as effective as they, you know, possibly should be? And I don't know if this kid could be rehabilitated.
That's the whole thing. Rehab only works as if you have a willing participant. You can't force it onto somebody if their mind isn't ready to do that, because you can get them to play through the game and so forth. But then once they get out on their own again,
you keep them out of there long enough.
You've got to try to then all of a sudden you're trying to face the financial situations that you're in. You're doing all these kind of things. And here comes this. Oh, here's all my answers in this easy to do for me crime.
So what is your answer to it?
I wish I knew.
Yeah.
I'd say, look, if I had that, I would not be sitting here, man.
Yeah.
We'd be a better society. We're trying to find the answers
right.
to this.
But
it's an ongoing problem, and what it takes is discussion. Throw out good ideas, throw out bad ideas.
Right.
Through them, maybe we find something, but it's got to come down to individuals.
Right. Doing the right. And I get that. But there's got to be a system in place somewhere. And you know, I would imagine more people would be ready to be rehabilitated if it was that, or you're going to spend, you know, a year in the clink. I mean, if those are your options, hey, I'm going to go do this. And you talk about the financial situation. I'll take the odds of somebody being able to get back up off their feet once they're clean from whatever they were on, compared to them trying to get back up on their feet out there peddling meth. And that's what these people were doing. And this one it struck me wrong for a couple of reasons. The fact that he was 18, you know that the family life, and well, you don't know. You can pretty easily assume that the family life coming up wasn't great. He also did say that the van was his dad's, and anything that he had in there wasn't his. So, you know, the heart goes out on that side. But that's what I'm saying. Like, get him away from that for a while. Like, we've got to have a better system than, hey, you're 18, here's your slap on the wrist, get back out there. Because he got back out there and started doing it on a higher level this time around. So, you know, kudos to the cops for doing it. We see the efforts that you're taking out there, and we need to continue to have these conversations about how we do stop the drug, or at least cut down on the number of drugs that we're seeing being peddled here in our community. Because it's not, in Denver, it's in our backyard. This was a block away from where the old radio station used to be, right? I mean, this is right here in our yard that this is happening, and it drives me crazy to see them back out on the streets that quickly.
Justified concerns. I understand everything you had to say. It's just, it's a very complicated matter.
Oh, it is.
And we can talk about it. We're sure not going to come up with any answers here, but certainly worth a discussion and a dialogue.
Yeah, let's get.
And I also, 18 years old, I had no idea what the hell I was doing yet.
Yeah, you weren't peddling meth.
No. No,
right?
And I'm not saying, I mean, no, this guy deserves to be, again, second time busted, it's increased. No, you go away.
Right.
You know, bottom line, you go away. But I
feel the heartstrings on it, too. Yeah.
But maybe there's still hope for somebody. I just always want people to get better.
Right.
But sometimes
I
you lose
you
out
on
that opportunity.
Yeah.
And I would say this person's very close to
me. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah. Let's get one cool last quick story in here. Actually, 7:20 the time. Let's get a break. If you want more news for Northern Colorado, you can go to 1310kfka.com. We'll have more of that tomorrow for you as well. 7:21 the time. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo. Uh, Oh, exciting things happening over at Clearwater Products. Clearwater Products have been a friend to all in the oil and gas and ag industries for over a decade now, and they are great at customer service, man.
They really do. That's a strong point.
They know what their clients need, and they know how to get it to them as well, and they just got their e-commerce site going now, clearwaterproducts.company.site. That's clearwaterproducts.company.site. You can go on there and order your parts from there, and if they don't have them, they can build them. If you can't get to the store, they can deliver them. They know that these industries are the ones where that job that you thought, hey, this will take a couple hours, one thing breaks, and all of a sudden, that's an all-dayer. And they know that your time is precious. They can get it out to you, whatever part it is, from chemical hoses to gloves to cooling rags, even for the farmers out there, irrigating season right around the corner. Belts and bearings at the store, online, or delivered to the field. Clearwater Products, 2021 First Avenue in Greeley, or call 970-673-8891. That's 970-673-8891. Clearwaterproducts.company.site. That's clearwaterproducts.company.site.
And congratulations to them for getting in the e-commerce. I know it took a long time to teach Brody how to log on. So
We're not sure if he is yet.
He has people for that.
Yes, he does. He does.
And I'm talking big because I know he's out of town.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's
you know that people can listen from wherever, though, right?
Yeah. Mistakes were made.
Just wanted to just wrap up that last conversation we were having, Brian. Went into the Weld County Sheriff's website, and you can look up these criminals' names and see when they were booked and when they were released. This 18-year-old was booked February 6th at 11:20 p.m., and he was released February 7th at 6:31 p.m. Didn't even spend a full 24 hours in jail before he was back out on the streets. He was out on a $10,000 bail. The bond type, and this is maybe a good conversation to have either with Steve Reams or even Havla, with the PR bond, released to pretrial supervision. There's obviously a breakdown happening there somewhere.
Well, and there's a lot of those terms that I don't really know the meaning of.
Right, right. And it's such a complicated system with this stuff. But a PR, you know, released a pretrial supervision. You know, what is that? Those are questions that we'll get answers to along the way, because it just seems insane to me. And with just not even 24 hours in jail for possession and distribution of meth, not even that much. And before his trial even gets underway for his first charge, they pick him up again.
Sounds like a great topic for Havla and Andy on Thursday.
Yeah, I think we'll dive into that.
It really does. Yeah, I can tell you've got some heat going on that.
Well, it's frustrating. And I feel for the men and women in blue. Honestly, that's where the frustration goes to, is because I couldn't imagine that job. I couldn't imagine picking up criminals off the street and then seeing them back out there the next day. The next day, man. It's just insane. Well, let's get another quick break here. I want to save some time because on the other side, we're getting a lot of good responses. Our Happy Life Gardens poll question. Who are you related to anyone famous? Are you related to anyone famous? We'll dive through some of these responses next.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
All right, are you related to anyone famous? Let's get through some of these here. Chris said my dad was a distant cousin to Jerry Cheevers. Gary Cheevers?
Gary Cheevers. He was the goaltender for the Boston Bruins for many years.
All right, distant cousin there.
I do remember him.
Templar Knight, William Marshall?
Yeah, I don't know him, but that's kind of cool. What else do we have? King Henry III, Mary Queen of Scots, Jacko Conlon, an umpire, and John Greenleaf Whittier.
People are stretching the definition of famous. Jeff said, I'm related to a major league pitcher also, the great Goose Gossage.
I remember Goose Gossage had connections here in Greeley as he had his restaurant, Goose Gossage's Burgers.
Oh, really?
Which was just around the corner from us here.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was right here, and he had come to town, opened up this restaurant. He was there when this thing started. I remember going there and eating at Goose Gossage's, hanging with Goose Gossage. I was there when they opened the place and won a Bob Gibson autographed baseball.
Oh, that's sweet.
Handed to me by Goose Gossage.
Oh, that's sweet.
Which was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Won that. I had my pick between that and Brooks Robinson.
Yeah, good call with Bob Gibson.
And it was tough because I love Brooks Robinson, but Bob Gibson is one of the most intimidating dudes ever on the mound. Nancy also said Ulysses S. Grant and Jesse James. Got a little outlaw on the family,
all right,
Nancy.
Tana said, according to my heritage, Alexander the Great.
Yeah, I was related to Alexander the not quite there.
Mike said, lean to the infamous side. Somebody's got to provide balance, LOL.
Yeah.
Noobu texts in, said he's related to Carrie Underwood.
What way, Noob?
So he said his Uncle Dale is her dad's brother.
No kidding.
Wouldn't that make you cousins? So that would be his dad or his mom's brother. And her dad is the other brother, unless there's been some divorce that happened in there. That would make Carrie Underwood Noob's cousin.
No, if it were, because this is his uncle's relative, right?
Yeah, so probably by marriage in there? I don't know, man.
I don't know.
The family tree is
knowing Noob, somebody was removed once or twice.
Yeah, probably.
All right, that's
probably the case. 7:35 the time. Chris Wood, editor and publisher with BizWest, going to join us on the other side. What's the latest with the Loveland City Council? We know a couple of lawsuits have been filed. Chris Wood will answer those questions next. But first, bottom of the hour, news and weather center. Welcome back into the Aloe Fiber Studios. I am Tanner Schwent, Brian Gary, my co-host, and on the Clearwater Products Hotline, it is Chris Wood, the editor and publisher with BizWest. Chris, great to have you back on the show, my friend. And without further ado, let's dive into what's happening over in Loveland with the city council. Of course, there's been a lot of drama going on there. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is that a special prosecutor that had been appointed by the five-member Loveland City Council majority has chosen not to pursue misdemeanor charges against four current council members and three former members. The special prosecutor, Kathy Haddock, who is a former lead counsel for the city of Boulder, said in an email Monday to the acting Loveland city attorney that she did not believe that any violations of Loveland's charter and municipal code or the Colorado open meetings law had occurred. This allegation was dating back a year ago. It regards letters that certain council members, seven council members, signed on Loveland City Council letterhead last year and sent to Governor Polis and state lawmakers. That was a letter that was signed by all of these council members, and it was to express their opposition to Senate Bill 23-273, which would have prohibited the designation of undeveloped land as blighted for urban renewal projects. And this was related to the Sentara South project in Loveland. So there were allegations that the council at time had engaged in basically a daisy chain of sending this letter around for signature, and that could have violated the Colorado open meetings law. So the special prosecutor determined that there was not sufficient evidence to that a violation of the open meetings law or the city charter had occurred, and that there would be no charges. So as you guys know, the Loveland City Council has really been in turmoil. They had a year ago, the council had approved the Sentara South agreements for this new project that McWinney Real Estate Services is doing at I-25 and 34. And then there was a sea change in the council and the makeup of the council after the November election, and the new council rescinded that approval. Then they had to back down after McWinney sued, and they rescinded the rescission of the approval. So this is all related to that particular project. And there is still some litigation out there. Former Councilman Don Overcash has a lawsuit in Loveland Municipal Court regarding some of this. And there are other legal actions outstanding as well. But at least this seems to be settled, that there will be no charges against these four sitting and three former council members.
Yeah, it's settled for now, but I can't even imagine trying to go to work with the people who you just said, a special, you know, prosecutor, special investigator. Forgive me if I used the term wrong there, but yeah. you hired somebody like that to investigate me, and now I got to go to work and try and work with you. I mean, this maybe gets one of the issues off the books, but Chris, there's still a tall task ahead of Loveland.
There absolutely is. It's tough to see how the majority and the minority on council can work together, and whether they can come to a relationship where they can get some things done without all of this acrimony over these past actions. There was an effort by the council minority to also investigate the majority, and that appears, I believe, that has been withdrawn. There was a move to appoint a special in the other direction, so I believe that has been withdrawn. But there are still legal issues out there that would have to be settled. One of the council members, Troy Krenning, said that he's satisfied. He was on the majority that had been in favor of appointing this special prosecutor for the four current members and three former members. But he did say in a statement yesterday that he accepts the decision of the special prosecutor not to file charges. Krenning made the original motion on March 19th to hire the special counsel. There was a special counsel hired before the special prosecutor. So it all gets very confusing, but yes, you are right. It is still pretty turbulent over on the Loveland City Council.
That's putting it mildly, too, turbulent. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like our federal government at a local level, and it's just crazy to me that, you know, we had John Gates in last week talking about this, Chris, and he kind of just shook his head at it. Like, he can't even imagine how they're going to bounce back from this, and I think that's the big question is, can they at least be cordial enough to work together? And like I said, in a brand new relationship, a lot of these people just got elected on in this past election, so it's going to be interesting to follow along with what's going to happen over in Loveland.
Absolutely, and there's a lot of decisions to be made. You know, there are decisions to be made about the Northern Colorado Regional Airport and its governance with the city of Fort Collins. There are moves to alter that. There are always different issues that have to be settled by city council. And, you know, the city council, the voters in Loveland eliminated the food tax. So there was a great deal of fear that will have some real implications in terms of revenue for the city of Loveland. And the city will have to determine how to address that potential shortfall of cash. So there are some really major issues facing this council, and we'll see if they're able to come together.
Does that mean that they've canceled the plans to hold the future meetings in an octagon at Blue Arena for all of us to attend? Because I had my tickets. I was looking forward to that. Also, did you have a follow-up?
Nope, I was good.
Okay. Chris, moving on now. Tesla apparently is going to open or has opened an AI facility in Fort Collins. What do they do there? What is this all about? And is Elon Musk part of that AI?
This is really interesting. The landlord is actually McWinney. This is part of the former Hewlett-Packard campus in Fort Collins. There's a large building that is owned by McWinney. And they have leased that space out to numerous other tenants. And although McWinney is not speaking to this directly, they have signed a non-disclosure agreement with this company. We have determined that it is Tesla that has taken, it's not a huge amount of space, it's about 8,800 square feet of space, And if you look at general rules of thumb for a number of employees per square foot, it could be 30 or up to 40 some employees that Tesla would hire. I can tell you that the real estate site LoopNet does list Tesla as a tenant at this building. This is at 3420 East Harmony Road. And we have found about 23 job listings on a job site for Tesla at this location. I believe it's open yet, but they looks like they will be opening an engineering facility in the company's Autopilot AI division. So we still don't have a lot of details about this. And the Sienna Kendall from the city of Fort Collins, economic health director for the city, said that they have heard Tesla is going, but they don't have a lot of any details about the number of jobs. If you look at some of these job listings, they have multiple, as I mentioned, listings. Some of them are for engineers, autopilot, artificial intelligence. They also have engineers for what's called Dojo. That's the name of Tesla's supercomputer launched last year to process video data from Tesla vehicles in order to help train machine learning models for self-driving technology. So it's all very, very interesting. Tesla does have some other operations. Of course, they have a facility in Loveland. They have a showroom in Superior. And a few years ago, we reported that the company had purchased a battery startup, Cillion, out of Louisville. So it's not their first operation here, but it's certainly significant for them to go into the city of Fort Collins.
No, it certainly is. We talk with Chris Wood here, editor and publisher, with BizWest. Chris, remind me what happened when Elon took over X or Twitter. They had a place in Boulder. Whatever happened with that, Chris?
Well, they had two facilities in Boulder, and there is still a lawsuit ongoing over their vacating of one facility without paying rent. So I believe that case is scheduled to go to trial later this year, I believe in November. So they had a facility downtown in what's called the Winsel Building, and then they had a larger facility, I think it was about 60,000 square feet, in the Spark development in central Boulder. So both of those were vacated, obviously. That's a lot of space that was put on the market. And one of those landlords has taken Tesla to court in Boulder District Court, and we will see what happens there. The other one, they did get formally evicted from the other one as well. I don't believe that there's a lawsuit on the second listing. But yes, there is still a lot of vacant space in Boulder that was formerly occupied by Twitter.
Chris, we've got about 2 minutes left here. This is a story that I've been reading through, trying to wrap my head around. Talk to us about the animal rights group suing CSU.
Yeah, this is a group out of the University of Denver's law school suing CSU over what it alleges are violations of the Colorado Open Records Act. This group is called the Animal Activist Legal Defense Project at DU's Sturm College of Law, filed a complaint on behalf of the group called Animal Partisan, accusing CSU's records custodian of excessive delay in responding to requests for records, inadequately searching for records, and also potentially destroying records. The case involves footage that this group had requested that CSU is supposedly in CSU's possession, showing footage of cows at a commercial slaughter facility. This is from a study that CSU conducted that was, according to the lawsuit, funded by the beef industry. So Animal Partisan had filed a Colorado Open Records Act request seeking the photos, video footage, and audio recordings of cows at this commercial slaughter facility that were part of this study. And they have not received those records, and they have sued as a result. The researchers sought to help the meatpacking industry understand and avoid the costly impacts of mud, including contamination and inefficient slaughter. So this group is trying to obtain footage of this of these cows, and they have not done that. And so they have, with DU's help, have sued CSU.
Are they looking at alleged violations that happened in the slaughter of these cows, or are they just going after the fact that they haven't turned the video over?
I think it's the latter. I don't believe that there's any allegations of abuse, but we simply don't know yet. That they've gotten into that in the lawsuit, but they want to obtain this footage, and so far they've been unsuccessful in doing so.
Well, and you know, this is just this is my opinion and hearsay at this point, but probably make great marketing promotion or for their animal rights activist group out there. We see that a lot. Chris Wood, editor publisher with BizWest. Chris, appreciate your time as always, my friend. What do you got going on at BizWest?
Well, on May 16th at the Boulder Theater, we have our Mercury 100 Fastest Growing Private Companies and our Innovation Quotient Award. So looking forward to that. That's always a good time and should be fun at the Boulder Theater in downtown Boulder.
Perfect. Chris, appreciate your time, my friend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
There you go. There's Chris Wood, editor, publisher with BizWest. We'll certainly come back around to that animal rights group suing CSU because this is a story that's been sent to us that we need to dive into at a certain point. We don't have time for it right now. We need to get the latest in the tech world. Here's Kim Komando.
7:59, wrapping up hour number two of Good Morning NoCo. Thank you so much for spending your day with us. We've got great stuff coming up after our program. Coach Speak coming your way at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, the Hull Show. Brady Hull and the Hulligans will keep you entertained until 2 this afternoon. So we've got plenty of great things coming your way and plenty of great stuff coming on Good Morning NoCo. The second half begins next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.